Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
What if the very thing that nearly broke you was the beginning of your awakening? What if your greatest pain was actually a divine summons to lead with more compassion, depth, and clarity than you ever imagined? What if the loss, the pain, the trauma, the loneliness you've carried was never meant to bury you, but to plant you? What if God has been calling you quietly, persistently, lovingly to rise, not after the pain ends, but right in the middle of it? You see, we often think that leadership begins when life gets easy, when the house is quiet, when our hearts are finally healed. But I've come to learn something entirely different. The call to rise doesn't wait for your healing. Sometimes it's exactly how healing begins. My name is Jenny Burba. I am a mother, a designer, a speaker, a coach, and an author. But more than that, I am a woman who has lived through more heartache than I ever thought one soul could survive. I grew up as a military child, moving every 2 years. That meant I was always the new girl, the one starting over, learning to navigate new schools, new friendships, and new routines again and again. It wasn't easy. There were times I felt unseen, disconnected, and so weary of the goodbyes. But it was also where the roots of my resilience first began to grow. I learned how to meet new people, how to adapt quickly, and how to take life as it comes. Without realizing it then, God was already preparing me for a future where resilience would not only be necessary, but life-changing. My journey into motherhood began earlier than most. I became a mom just 1 week before my 18th birthday, and I married my first husband only 3 months later. We were young, unprepared, and suddenly responsible for a family. While my peers were choosing prom dresses and applying to colleges, I was learning how to swaddle a newborn, how to stretch a dollar, and how to quiet my own fears while keeping a steady face for my child. That marriage was far from easy. There were so many seasons of emotional hardship, financial strain, and quiet loneliness. We had moments of joy, but also long stretches of tension and exhaustion that chipped away at my identity. I poured myself into homeschooling my children, managing our home, and trying desperately to hold everything together, even as cracks in the foundation of our relationship widened. And then came the moment that changed everything. In December of 2014, we lost our 8th child to stillbirth. Holding my son, Maximilian, in my hands and realizing I would never hear him cry or watch him grow was a grief unlike anything I had ever experienced. I can still remember the sterile stillness of that hospital room, the way that time seemed to just stop. And the sound of silence was louder than anything I had ever heard. Grief has a way of breaking you wide open. but it also has a way of exposing what is truly valuable. In the weeks that followed, I found my husband and I drawing closer together, clinging to one another in our shared heartbreak. That loss, as crushing as it was, planted the seeds for deeper connection, compassion, and even forgiveness between us. God was already weaving redemption into the ruins. However, just 7 years later, when I thought life had already stretched me to my breaking point, my husband caught COVID. He was hospitalized for an entire month, fighting for his life. And at the end of October 2021, he passed away. The months that followed were some of the hardest I have ever walked through. There was an empty space at the table, and no amount of busyness or distraction could fill the void he left behind. Grief doesn't just come at you once, it lingers in the everyday moments. I felt it while I was grocery shopping when I realized I no longer needed to buy his favorite snacks. I felt it during birthdays when blowing out candles seemed to highlight who wasn't there. Even laughter with my kids was laced with guilt, as if joy and sorrow were not allowed to coexist. That is the paradox of grief. It seals your breath in one moment and demands you keep going in the very next. And in that season, I did not want to rise. I wanted to disappear. There is a part of grief no one is prepared for. The part that wraps around your identity and whispers, "This is who you are now, broken, alone, lost." Grief changes everything. It changes the way you see people, the way you see life, and sometimes even the way you see God. It shakes your sense of safety. It reorders your priorities. It forces you to look at life differently, sometimes for the better, but never without cost. I remember those early weeks. I was in a complete fog. It wasn't just the big things, it was the small, invisible ones, too. The empty space in the bed at night, the "how are you doing" texts you don't know how to answer, the fact that no one else remembers all the things you carry every single day. Maybe you have felt that way too. Maybe you have been that person smiling in public, but crying behind the wheel. Maybe you have been the one who others say is so strong, but they have no idea what it takes just to get out of bed. There were days I felt like God was silent. Days that I asked, "Why would you let this happen?" But even in the silence, I realize now he was always there. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." At the time, I didn't feel close to him. But I look back now and see that every breath I took, every meal I somehow cooked, every tear I cried into his presence, that was proof he had never left me. Then I heard God whisper, "Daughter, I know this hurts, but this is not your end. This is your awakening." It didn't happen overnight, and at first I resisted it. I told God, "You have got the wrong girl." But healing came slowly, not in a loud, dramatic moment, but in small, sacred ones, in the quiet moments when my children needed me, in the nudges I felt in prayer, in the simple act of picking up a pen or a crayon to express what words could not carry. Sometimes it was messy watercolors, sometimes scribbles in a journal, sometimes sewing stitches through fabric as if I was stitching my own heart back together. Each act was less about the end product and more about the release, the permission to feel, to grieve, and to hope. I've learned that creativity is not just art, it's medicine. It's a form of worship when words fall short. And for you, it might not look like painting. It could be gardening, music, photography, or even cooking. Whatever it is, it can become a channel for God to meet you in the midst of your pain. I began to create not because I was healed, but because I needed to breathe. Creativity became my lifeline. It was prayer in action, putting color where there had only been darkness. As I created, God began to heal me piece by piece, and through that process, I began to remember who I was beneath the roles, beneath the grief. That's how my Creative Resilience Healing Program was born. It wasn't born from strength. It was born from surrender. Not because I had all the answers, but because I knew what it was to sit in the ashes and still believe beauty was possible. It wasn't about getting over the pain. It was about giving the pain voice and letting that voice shape something new. I didn't start teaching and speaking because I had every single answer. I started because I couldn't keep quiet about what God had done in my life. Creative healing became the bridge between the pain I had endured and the purpose I now walk in. That's also when I realized leadership is not about arriving with all the answers. It's about showing up with honesty, with empathy, and with the courage to say, "This is hard, but I am still here." The world's view of leadership is often about position, power, or recognition. But God's view? It's about service. It's about being willing to go where He sends you, even when you feel unqualified. You are not disqualified by your pain. You are commissioned through it. You may have been told that leadership is for the confident, the extroverted, the accomplished. But I am here to tell you, leadership is for the willing. Think of Moses arguing with God that he couldn't speak well enough. Gideon hiding in a wine press, doubting his worth. Esther trembling before the king, but stepping into courage anyway. And even Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, yet he was restored and entrusted to shepherd the church. Again and again, God calls leaders not because they are perfect, but because they are willing. And today, He is still calling leaders from the ashes of pain, disappointment, and loss. And when I look around me today, I see it everywhere. The cancer survivor who now encourages others walking through treatment. The parent who lost a child but now comforts other grieving families. The veteran who uses their scars to help others return home whole. Leadership is born in the fire. It's for those who have known darkness and decided to carry light anyway. It's for the ones who hear God's whisper in the chaos and say, "Yes, Lord, I will rise." You don't have to wait until the pain is gone to answer the call. Sometimes your healing begins the moment you say, "I am ready to lead." Because leadership isn't about standing on a stage. It's about standing in the gap for the hurting, the lost, the silence. It's about lifting others up, even as you're still learning to stand. It's showing up, wounded, raw, and brave. That is holy leadership. That is what it means to awaken. If you've been through loss, disappointment, or trials, I want you to hear this. Your pain does not mean God is done with you. It may be the very tool he uses to shape your mission. Isaiah 61 talks about God giving beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, and praise for despair. That's not just poetry, it's a promise. When you say yes to him in the middle of the mess, he will use it to impact others. You may not feel like a leader, but the people watching you, the ones learning from your resilience, your faith, your honesty, they already see it. They already see you, the person who didn't give up, the person who got back up. The person who now reaches behind them to pull others up too. That's leadership. That's what it means to embrace the call. And I believe with all my heart, you are not here by accident. You are here because the world needs your story, your scars, your voice. You lead by starting small. You lead by being present. You lead by deciding that your past is not your prison, it is your platform. And no matter what your spiritual background is, I think we can all agree there is something so powerful about choosing to believe your life still holds meaning. Even after everything. So, how do you step into leadership when you're still healing? Number one, start where you are, not where you think you should be. Start with the skills, wisdom, and perspective that you have right now. God multiplies the little that we are willing to offer. It might be as simple as starting a conversation, writing one encouraging note, or mentoring one person. You don't need a big platform to lead, just a willing heart. Two, stay anchored in prayer. Leadership without prayer becomes self-reliance, and that will burn you out. Even just 5 minutes of honest prayer can shift the entire tone of your day. It's not about eloquence, it's about connection. Number three, use your story with intention. Let your story glorify God, not just yourself. You don't have to share everything. Share the parts that point others to hope. Let those become stepping stones for someone else. But also remember, sometimes the part of your story you most want to hide is the part that someone else most needs to hear. Number four, lead through service. Look for the needs around you. Sometimes leadership is meeting one person's need at a time. Host a gathering, lead a group, serve your community, but show up consistently. Great leaders are not remembered for their titles, but for the way they served when no one was watching. Number five, lead with empathy, not ego. Your scars make you more relatable, not less. Authenticity is your strength. People don't follow perfection, they follow honesty. Empathy is the bridge between your pain and someone else's healing. Number six, guard your heart and your health. Grief and healing take so much energy. Remember, even Jesus rested. Be sure to make space for renewal and to refill your cup. Burnout doesn't just rob you, it robs the people you are called to serve. Rest is not selfish, it's stewardship. Number seven, leave room for joy. Leadership can be heavy, but it doesn't have to be. Celebrate the small wins, laugh, build beauty into your routines. Joy isn't a distraction from your calling, it's fuel for it. And lastly, number eight, lead with eternity in mind. When your why is bigger than this moment, your courage grows. Eternity gives perspective. What feels overwhelming today will one day be a testimony of God's faithfulness. You are allowed to lead and still be processing. You are allowed to show up messy and real. You are allowed to be both wounded and wise. So now, my sister or brother in Christ, I ask you to awaken. Not to more hustle, not to more striving, but to grace, to calling, to leadership that is born from healing. This is your reminder that you don't need anyone's permission to rise. You have already walked through the fire, and you are still standing. You are a walking testimony. You are an answered prayer in motion. You are proof that God can bring beauty from ashes and purpose from pain. You are here because there is a mission on your life that only you can fulfill. So rise, lead, serve, shine the light that He has placed within you. You don't have to be perfect to lead. You just have to be awake and willing to say, "Yes, Lord, send me." Let today be the moment you stop waiting. Let today be the moment you awaken. Let it be the moment you embrace the call to rise and lead with holy fire. May God bless all of you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.